Sports Radio Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. 615-844-5600. We'll be with you tonight until 6. Don't forget, coming up at 5:16, another Westwood One update, opening round of the U.S. Open. Also around 5:20, more SEC football conversations. Doug Segrist, our weekly visit with Doug, formerly with the Nashville Banner, now a co-host on The Zone down in Birmingham on ABC 3340, also a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. Hey, one thing that I did get a take from Dr. Detroit's phone call before the top of the hour, Zach.
Dangerous territory here.
Well, when he asked me about whether or not I cared or not about Detroit Lions, it got me thinking, because one thing, if you ask me a question, I'm not like one of those individuals that plays the political game. If you ask a question, I'll give you an honest answer. No, Detroit, certainly when I think about the 32 NFL teams, I don't know if there's another team in the NFL that has less of my attention than Detroit. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I just, maybe when they had Barry Sanders, but even then, you know, watching the games in the old Pontiac Silverdome, it was just like, eh. I mean, I would always hate it too, because Detroit was one of those teams that would always play on Thanksgiving as well. It was tradition. And just seeing in that, I don't know, it just didn't feel right. Just like, I remember baseball games that used to be played in the Astrodome, when the Astros would play in the Astrodome, and it didn't feel good in person to be at a game like that, and it didn't seem like just something was missing, even if you're watching it on television. Or the old Kingdome in Seattle, where the Seahawks used to play. Same situation. That was just a terrible facility to watch a football game. But I was, you know, being honest with you, I'm thinking of the NFL, and I don't know if there's another team in the NFL that I would put even below Detroit as far as grabbing my attention.
With me being 27, my whole life, I've only seen the Lions suck for the most part. There really hasn't been...
Well, they've never made the Super Bowl.
They've always been a joke. And I always question. I mean, they were the Thanksgiving team, right? You saw them on Thanksgiving, and I never understood. I would always question this and be like, why do they keep putting the same team on every year, and they just get trounced every single year, it seemed like?
And see, I don't even put Cleveland below Detroit, at least
differently.
But we're a different age group, and see, I remember Cleveland just bad luck. You know, the Ernest Byner fumble and the drive with Denver and John Elway, that should have been Cleveland, you know, going to not one, but a couple of Super Bowls. And so when I go back to that, at least I have that from a Cleveland standpoint. So I don't even have that for Detroit. And with regards to the other teams, the other now 30 teams after Cleveland and Detroit, there's at least the other ones I will still pay attention to. But if you put me, say, a Detroit New York Giants game on right now, I'm not watching.
Well,
I mean, I'll see the highlights, but I'm not like going to sit down and spend the next 3+ hours watching that. I'm just not going to do it.
In my 27 years that I've been alive, I think the Browns are simply the worst organization in sports. Who is your worst organization in sports? Not just football, but across all the major four, if you will.
I'm not going to go NHL. Well, NBA, I will probably say the Hawks. That's why about 4 years ago, I gave up being a fan of the Hawks and just said, finally, I gave up on them. And I'm almost at the cusp of doing that now. I can tell, and it's taken 4 decades for me to get to this point, but even as a fan of the Jets, we saw bonus coverage on Sunday, right, with the Jets in Buffalo. And, like, why are you even convincing me to spend my time watching the Jets, knowing when I see what they have at wide receiver and knowing what was still out there from a free agent standpoint, and Sam Darnold is supposed to be your savior, your franchise QB, and you don't give him any weapons? You have missed, you know, you have not utilized Le'Veon Bell. You didn't utilize him last year, and now you've got him hurt now for the next 3+ weeks. That whole thing is like, how do you, I wish I could be Listen, if you're a fan of the Jets, or if you work in the front office for the Jets, I say this all the time. Quit trying to be the smartest person in the room. Just pick me. Just take all SEC players. Get the best SEC players when you come up on his draft board, and you could not do any worse than what they have done since making it in year three to a Super Bowl. That 68 season, 69 Super Bowl. The fact that that's the only time that franchise has been in a Super Bowl, I mean, and they made the third one, and here we are now 2020. I mean, how are you, when they listed the, I'm thinking like, this has to be a joke. This is not the practice squad wide receivers. This is their weapons, and this is what you give. And so I'm almost, with, especially now with the Dolphins inside the division, and they drafted Tua Tagovailoa, when he takes over that team, I'm very tempted, especially the fact that the Dolphins are in the South.
Better color formation, too.
You know, I am very tempted to say, okay, I've had enough. I've had enough since they don't obviously care about winning. They don't invest in winning. They don't know how to win. You know, you get to the point where I'm not even mad anymore. I just don't care anymore. Apathy has set in, and I should have been pumped up with that bonus coverage. It's like, I don't want to see that. What about this other exciting game that actually has more relevance than that mess? And so once Tua gets the job as QB for Miami, that's going to be tough for me not to start pulling for the Dolphins over the Jets.
Well, yeah. I can't take it away from there. That's the same, because we talked about this a while ago. That's the exact same reason I gave up on the Vols, because I was a Royals, Vols, and Titans fan, and there for a long stretch.
You were just miserable.
It was terrible. And I said, I'm dumping one loser. So I like baseball. I can't get away from baseball. Stay Royals. Titans are right next door. Vols, you're out the door. And so far, it's been a pretty good transition. I haven't even claimed any other SEC team, and I'm much more healthier for it.
I mean, thank goodness, from a college standpoint, I grew up an Alabama fan. I went to college at Florida State, and so I have been blessed with a lot of national championships since the age of six, and a lot of opportunities to win more national titles.
When one's bad, you can jump to the other.
And you think about legends. When you think about college football coaching legends, and you go with Bear Bryant and a Bobby Bowden and now Nick Saban, and I've been around all three. I've gotten to know all three. I mean, I've been blessed from a college football standpoint, and we go from that extreme to the fact that I've been a lifelong Jets fan. I mean, talk about misery. I can relate to your misery with what you just threw out there.
Yeah, it's the literal translation of Nick Saban in college to Nick Saban in professionals. it's bad on one side, amazing on the other.
And you go, well, how did you become a Jets fan? Well, it's really simple. I love the color. Kelly Green was a beautiful color. I don't know why in the early 90s in the rich Kotite years that they went to this ugly green. It's like, what are you thinking kind of thing? And they went 1-15 and they realized maybe that wasn't the brightest idea. I mean, think about it. What if I had chosen out of nowhere the Patriots? But it all came down to the fact that back-to-back QBs for the Jets were Alabama quarterbacks. You had Joe Namath, Broadway Joe, and then you had Richard Todd from Alabama.
Richard Todd.
And so it was just at one point, not having a team, I mean, the closest one were the Atlanta Falcons as far as growing up in Alabama. You know, my allegiance from an NFL perspective could have gone different directions. But think about if I had picked the Patriots. How blessed would I have been now with not only all these national titles with my two college football choices, but then I could start thinking about all these Super Bowl titles as far as the Patriots.
At that point, though, look, you'd be on the real track of being called a bandwagoner. Yeah, if you're a fan of, like, it'd be like, yeah, and also you like the Warriors.
But if I had been there since day one, if I'd been there since the first time I picked a team, because all these teams I'm talking about are ones for been there from day one. Been a fan of the Jets. That's why, I mean, who else? Why else would you pick the Jets as your favorite team? I mean, I've been there since day one as a kid when I first knew about the NFL. Been there with Alabama, and obviously with my allegiance with Florida State, going to school there and having a degree there. So there's natural reasons for me.
You could also be a old running back fan. You know, it seems like every old running back, Chris Johnson, LaDainian Tomlinson, now Frank Gore will be taking over the starting duties. It seems like that's the place where running backs go to die, is up there in Jets uniform.
What was the one that, Curtis Martin?
Curtis Martin?
He was, and boy, and they jinxed me, because this was the year Denver was trailing 10-9 to the Jets. So everybody was talking, I was getting the phone calls. Hey, finally, your Jets are making it to another Super Bowl, and that is like the kiss of death. because at halftime, Jets up 10-0, looking great. They don't score again the rest of the way, and it's Denver making it to the Super Bowl and not the Jets.
You're one of those people that's like, don't talk about the no-hitter. Don't say anything about the no-hitter.
It just never works out for me. Anytime someone does that, it's like, it's going to happen now. Here it comes. You know, my team could be up by 3 touchdowns. It doesn't matter. There's going to be a way for the other team to pull off a miracle.
See, that's my correlation with betting. If I bet on any game, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's the most over, you know, you're going to win no matter what. Like, can I put that money on it? I'm losing that
bet. So you're the reason why all of those nice little hotels in Vegas, even on the coast in Biloxi, why they're as tall, they are tall as they are.
No, because I'm not addicted to it. I don't show up. I just did it one time, 2 times, and I was out. That's all it was. I wasn't going to stretch that luck.
All right, don't forget, around 5:20 or so, Doug Segrist, formerly with the Nashville Banner, he'll be joining us from Birmingham. He is, once again, the co-host on The Zone on ABC 3340, contributor to Montgomery Advertiser. We'll be talking with him often throughout the college football season as well. And the fact that we're 9 days away from the start of the SEC portion of college football coming up a week from Saturday. As a reminder, no Braves baseball tonight, but we'll be with you until 6 tonight. Coming up in just a moment, we'll have another update, opening round of the U.S. Open from New York. Also, another update later this hour around 5:46 as well. As a reminder, programming note, don't forget, tomorrow, speaking of legends, 4:20 tomorrow, Bobby Bowden, the legend himself, Hall of Fame coach, Florida State legend, will be a part of the show. Once again, that's coming up tomorrow afternoon at 4:20. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the 120th U.S. Open Golf Championship. First round winding down at Winged Foot. No one has caught Justin Thomas yet. Let's check the leaderboard sponsored by Geico. Geico is now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com for more. Justin Thomas was almost flawless on his way to a 5-under-65 as part of the morning wave. It's JT's lowest score in the first round in a major, and remember, he won the PGA 3 years ago. Patrick Reed, Thomas Peters, Matthew Wolf, all 4-under, one back. Wolf, the one player who could join Thomas at -5, he is playing hole number 17 right now. Rory McIlroy and Lee Westwood in the clubhouse at 3-under. Xander Schauffele was at 3-under, but he drops to 2 after a bogey. Everyone's picked to win coming in. Dustin Johnson, 3 over as he plays 18. He's 8 shots back. I'm Ted Emmerich, Westwood One Sports.
And now another edition of Obvious News from Geico. Obvious News! A study says that soft talkers do not make great radio personalities. We asked local librarian Steve Sage about this, and here's what he said.
Honestly, I don't buy it. I think I make very captivating radio.
Also in Obvious News, Geico makes it easy to save money and easy to manage your policy with the Geico app. So switching is a really smart decision. How does Steve feel about this?
I love the Geico app. I use it all the time.
That's Obvious News from Geico. Obvious News!
Today, everyone is expecting you to maintain a new level of clean, from customers and employees to students and staff. Cintas has the essential products and services to help you carry out cleaning protocols effectively. We'll keep you well stocked with cleaning supplies, professionally laundered uniforms, and other essentials like face masks, hand sanitizer, and thermometers. Give everyone the confidence they need to keep coming back. Visit Cintas.com and get ready for the workday.
Good afternoon. Traffic still tied up here on 65 southbound, where it's shut down for like hour number 3. Now, from that wreck we had earlier where that truck caught fire, still dragging along northbound 65 up by Trinity Lane. It's heavy on all the major outbound routes right now, especially I-40 headed back into Wilson County. Ripley's Aquarium Family Edition, Sleep with the Sharks, it's back this weekend. Check it out at RipleyAquariumOfTheSmokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 $3 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-204-0145 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-204-0145 to take your call now. Call 800-204-0145. That's 800-201-0145. Again, 800-204-0145.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com. One of the real joys of growing up in Nashville has been the visit to the flea market. And like a lot of things that are going on in our world right now, stuff has been turned upside down. The flea market staff misses you. They want you to know that. But for your convenience, during this downtime, they have set up a virtual flea market. You can go on the website virtualnashvilleflea.com to get more details. And for more information, visit the website thefairgrounds.com/flea market. Now, where does all of this get into sports? I'm about to tell you. The folks at the flea market will be the weekly sponsor of the Metro Nashville High School Football Report. It'll air each week, Friday, 2:25 p.m. Join us, and when things get better, go visit the flea market.
Are you struggling to feed your family? If your family gets free or reduced price school meals, you may qualify to receive money for groceries through the PEBT program. Visit TennesseeMeals.com or call 866-311-4287. The deadline is soon. That's TennesseeMeals.com, 866-311-4287. Brought to you by this station, the Tennessee Justice Center, and the Tennessee Department of Human Services.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs smoothly. We'll be with you tonight until 6. Right now, opportunity to talk some more SEC football. Doug Seeger is formerly with the Nashville Banner. He is a co-host on The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340 and a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser as well. Doug, always a pleasure. Welcome back, buddy.
Thank you, Ballpark. It's good to be here.
9 days away. You know, to me, the fact that we get a preseason list from the coaches as far as preseason, all SEC, and I had a chance last hour to visit with Brad Nessler, the voice of the SEC on CBS, and you. I mean, to me, it says SEC on the way.
It's back, baby.
What did you think when you saw the list today as far as the preseason all-conference? I mean, to me, it shows you just how much the coaches in the league think about what Alabama brings to the table, especially the offense. I mean, when you're talking about that you have both wide receivers, you've got one of the two running backs in Najee Harris, you've got two of your four offensive linemen that is not the center, that means that you're expecting more the same with the Crimson Tide?
Well, the known commodities. First of all, start with skill guys. You're talking about three skill guys who could have easily been, you know, top two-round, three-round picks in the NFL, but wanted to improve their chances. And then you've got an offensive line that returns mostly intact. There may be some changes, but that is because other guys have risen to the occasion and challenge some of the old-timers. And two, it's Alabama. Listen, Kentucky has this great experienced offensive line, but it's more under the radar because you know, they're not playing in the college football playoffs every year. But it, I'm telling you, Kentucky's offensive line may be every bit as good as Alabama's.
They are definitely the second best, if not, once again, a close tie with Alabama as far as the top offensive line. And one of the reasons why I look at Kentucky's schedule, look, I'm not going to be shocked knowing all the games as far as the practices and stuff like that that the Auburn starters have missed leading up to this game next week when they host Kentucky. I'm not going to be shocked if Kentucky goes down there and pulls out a win against the Auburn Tigers. I look at Kentucky's schedule, and they also got Georgia in their first seven games. It's a Kentucky team that could begin this stretch 6-1, you know, 5-2 at the worst.
Yeah, I think they're the most overlooked team going into the season. Again, you know, they got a quarterback back this year, and they've also proven that even with a third string quarterback slash wide receiver, they can be productive. Say the grand system works. You know, I'm not sure how good they're going to be defensively because they have been sending NFL guys off that defensive line, but this is a program now that we know develops talent. And usually has a good fix. This is a very solid program. It, much the way Dan Mullen built something at Mississippi State, you know, every year they're competitive, and you saw Mississippi State have that one run. This may be Kentucky's year because there are questions at Georgia. We still don't know if Florida's ready to take command. So, you know, Tennessee's still on the way back up. And so while the, you know, the East doesn't get a lot of acknowledgement, Kentucky is set for big things.
You know, we went through this earlier part of last decade, you know, when A.J. McCarron, along with Zach Mettenberger and Philip Marshall, when those guys went to the wayside, and then you had the new crop of quarterbacks coming in. I mean, Aaron Murray, another example of one of those outstanding quarterbacks as far as the college ranks. You had that one-year lull there. And I look at what we had last year in the SEC at quarterback, and this group this year may be there by next year, but certainly taking a you know, you can't help but take a step backwards knowing you're losing the likes of a Tua Tagovailoa and a Joe Burrow.
Well, and you're talking about two guys who could, you know, if all goes well, could end up being Hall of Famers. I mean, they've got that potential. So this is a big step back. I think it's a big step up for defenses. I think this is the year you're going to see kind of defense reassert itself because there's a lot of experience returning across the board on defense. You know, I think what kind of held Alabama back last year was inconsistent play, and I think they're going to be solid this year. Georgia, again, if you're picking Georgia to win, you're picking them not because of the skill talent on offense. You're picking them because of the how solid they are in athletic they are on defense. Florida, you know, I think they've got the most veteran quarterback now. But if they win a championship, it's going to be because they have a championship defense. So, in a way, this is kind of returned to about 5 years ago.
I will say this about Georgia. Their first six games, that's what they have to get through. When, you know, second week, they host Auburn. Fourth week, they're at Alabama. They also have another trip the following week at Kentucky, the open week, and then you get Florida. If they can navigate those first six, I mean, they've got the easiest four games of anybody in the SEC the way they finish, at Missouri, hosting Mississippi State, at South Carolina, and then hosting Vanderbilt to wrap up things.
I think if you look at their schedule as a whole, it's the most manageable schedule. There is no such thing as an easy schedule in the SEC this year, but it's certainly the most manageable. But they got to get there to manage it. And you're right. I mean, opening or second game against Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, and then Kentucky, Florida. I mean, that is as tough a five-game stretch as anybody in the conference. And, you know, you're going to have to go through there with a maximum of one loss to be in the hunt for a playoff unless, you know, it goes crazy all across the country.
And I will say the same thing about Florida. It's really strange when you look at the two best teams on paper to start this in the SEC East. Both Florida and Georgia have really very manageable schedules to wrap up things. Florida's last four, hosting Arkansas, then at Vanderbilt, hosting Kentucky, and then at Tennessee. It's almost like the similar kind of situation as Georgia, whereas you look at the teams from the SEC West, whether it's Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M, or LSU, an entirely different story with the way those teams have to finish compared to, say, Georgia and Florida.
Yeah, I would contend that Florida's is a good bit tougher at the end just because of the Kentucky and Tennessee games. Now, we don't know where those programs be at that point of the season, but I think Tennessee continues to make improvements. They're still maybe a year or two away. Again, I think Kentucky is the dark horse. So, that you know, you could have a game, you could go in that game, it may even be a pick'em contest at that point. So, I think Georgia has the benefit. Maybe Kentucky's or Florida's schedule is a little more spaced out and a little more manageable from that regard. You know, this is what I love, though. You're going to compare schedules, and right now it's all on paper. But at the end of the year, I don't think you can say anybody had an easy road.
Well, but there are certainly easier ways to get to from point A to point Z. I mean, I look at Vanderbilt. They start off awful with at Texas A&M, then hosting LSU, and they wrap up bad, too, you know, at Kentucky, hosting Florida, then Tennessee, then at Georgia. Vanderbilt's wins, it comes as far as starting that week three from South Carolina, at Missouri, hosting Ole Miss, and then at Mississippi State. Those are where the best possibilities and probability for wins for Vanderbilt this year.
Yeah, you've got a window of opportunity. And, you know, again, this is a team that's missed a lot of practice. And, you know, we don't know how this is going to affect everybody. Again, I think more than the players missing practice, it's spring practice. The loss of spring practice is going to hurt a lot of teams. And I think the two most vulnerable in that regard are going to be Auburn and LSU. LSU because they have to replace so many frontline people, an offensive coordinator, quarterback, and Auburn because you've got to pretty much put together an entire new offensive line, and you're losing, you know, 3 weeks of practice, full-scale practice, that is so instrumental in kind of creating this gel process where they kind of learn each other. And so that's why I think your pick of Kentucky is a possible upset. I think it's more than possible in that opener.
You know, the other thing, too, and I've been around teams that were championship-caliber teams. I've been around teams that were not very good, where we're talking about two-win type of teams. And, you know, the thing is, those when you're struggling to get a victory, you're putting in all that practice time, and you get nothing to show for it as far as when you show up on the field on that Saturday. You know, to me, I think that's going to be the biggest challenge when we look at Vanderbilt for Derek Mason and that staff, you know, week in and week out, especially early on, keeping the team together mentally to give them opportunities to get some W's during the course of the season.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a problem nationwide because this has been such an unusual year. You face so many adverse situations. And if things go south, whether you're a contender or a preseason contender or whether your team's just trying to stay afloat, there's not a whole lot of incentive down the stretch. I mean, you've done everything, Ash. You've given up free time. You don't see your family as much as you want. And I think things could spiral out of control. I also think that, though, that's a good reason for job security. It's going to be difficult to fire any coach this season under these circumstances because the circumstances are so different from school to school, depending on the virus, depending on your schedule. And now you're also looking at, and I think this gets lost in the equation, you're looking at an economic component. You know, right. If Will Muschamp is on the hot seat, how much money do you want to spend if he has a bad season buying him out and then hiring a new guy? The money may not be there.
I mean, I'm getting those emails now. I mean, I'm getting emails to tell me that I'm going to be getting phone calls and emails like from Florida State. And it's not for athletics. I'm talking about for the university. And they're already like setting up, hey, you know, the current students, they're getting ready to call you. So we just want to prepare you that they're going to call you. And I know what they want, and I know what they need. And look, they're not alone. I mean, all of these universities, I'm not talking athletics either. I'm talking about universities to keep things going, to keep, you know, not losing particular departments on campuses that we've saw that has occurred over the past few months at some of these universities across the country as well. And these are unusual times, and I'm like you. I don't think what we would normally be talking about as far as hot seat, I don't think a hot seat exists as far as 2020, mainly because of the economics part of it.
Right, you just can't afford it. And for all the talk we make about the losses of football revenue, the university revenue losses are can be astronomical. And I think that's part of the reason everybody's trying to get back on campus. It at least you can recoup some of the money with, you know, dorms and meals, even if you're having online classes. I'm not sure it's the best use of money. You know, I've got a son who's up at grad school, and he's thankfully he's on scholarship, but, you know, he's got a dorm room, he's got meals, everything's normal except they're online for classes, and it's just kind of an unreal world, but the universities need that to survive.
Tennessee, to me, especially from the offensive line standpoint, I still think they have one of the better offensive lines in the SEC, but they would certainly look that much better if you can say a Cade Mays in that starting lineup.
Well, yeah. I mean, then, and again, that's where they've been lacking the last few years. This is where they've probably made up the most ground, and now you've got a veteran quarterback in a year where you don't have a Burrow and a Tua. And you've got some skilled people, and you know, that makes a difference. That puts you on a different level if it comes together like that.
And Jared Garantano, I really think that mistake that he made in that Alabama game last year at the goal line, I've talked about this in the preseason as well. You know, these are opportunities where players can learn from that and move forward. And I think that's one of the reasons why when you hear the players, especially on the offensive side of the ball, talk about Jared Garantano, they're talking about the fact that he seems to have a total control of the offense. It's his team. And that's if you're a fan of the Vols, those are kind of words that you want to hear going into week one.
Well, I think he's already proved that here's a guy kind of like a relief pitcher mentality. He can go out and get shelled one day, and the next day it's all forgotten. You know, he's had some bad moments in his Tennessee career. There are times where everybody's written him off. He'll never see the field again, and he just keeps coming back, and he gets better. And, you know, I think that's a reflection of his work ethic, and I think it's also a reflection of kind of the personality of this team is starting to get under Jeremy Pruitt. And, you know, he's going to be measured by X's and O's, but I think Pruitt's been one of the leaders in terms of handling all the social unrest with his team. I think he's listened to his team. He's been out there out front, and I think that resonates. I think you're going to see guys who want to play for him because what he stood for.
The next best thing, what I'm getting ready to say, cannot wait, and because the next time we have a chance to visit with you, we'll be talking about game week in the SEC in September, and, you know, going back to our conversations in April and May, I didn't really think we could. Now, I thought we'd be talking about college football this year in the SEC, but I meant the calendar year. Didn't necessarily be thinking it was going to happen in the month of September. So next week, looking forward to that. If you're not doing so, you can follow Doug on Twitter at DSegris. Once again, co-host of the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340. And he's a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser as well. Doug, have a safe rest of the week. All the best to you and your family, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Ballpark. You stay safe.
I will, buddy. Thank you. That's Doug Segrist joining us. By the way, this segment brought to you by friends with Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. As far as if you're in the Rutherford County, Murfreesboro area, we're talking about Thumbs Up next weekend. If everything goes as planned, the new location down in Murfreesboro is going to be an enhanced experience, just like you find in Hendersonville at Circus World. It's in the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall. You can, by the way, if you haven't done so, follow the Strike and Spare Murfreesboro Facebook account to keep updated with all the offerings there with the new location. Also, locations to serve you, Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, the Tusculum area as well. If you need more information, you can go online at strikeandspare.com. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Well, good afternoon. It remains shut down here on 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. It's been shut down all afternoon long from a crash where a truck caught fire. Yes, it's still dragging along northbound on 65 trying to get past Trinity Lane with rubberneckers. All the major outbound routes right now are really heavy, especially I-40 east headed back into Wilson County. Hey, check out the new Andre Chicken Sandwich at Princess Hot Chicken. They're online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
You've seen him on national television. You've heard him on national radio. Kevin Todd, president and CEO of thesportsbrokers.com, is releasing his Thursday night NFL blowout winner. Cincinnati at Cleveland, absolutely free on a recorded message. Call now 888-977-2788 and get tonight's winner absolutely free. Start your football season on a winning note. There's no one better against the spread than Kevin Todd. Become part of Kevin Todd's inner circle and you will have access to his upset specials. Dogs winning outright, favorites running away with a win by 3 to 4 touchdowns. Let him earn your business. He loves tonight's game. Call 888-977-2788. Absolutely free on a recorded message. Kevin Todd is the nation's number one handicapper. He's the professional that professionals turn to. Call now 888-977-2788. That's 888-977-2788. Absolutely free on a recorded message. Kevin Todd turns outcomes into incomes. Call 888-977-2788 now.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi. I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
Well, before I left my campsite, I was putting out my fire, and out of nowhere, Smokey Bear showed up and hugged me?
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. He likes it when people correctly put out their campfires. He's pretty big on wildfire prevention. He's just letting you know you did good. With a hug. He's a hugger.
I just got a bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update!
All right, I'm gonna let you go now. I've got a lot of ranger stuff to do. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast for this afternoon. Mostly sunny with a high near 86 with a north wind around 15 miles an hour with gusts as high as 20 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 60. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 75. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now, 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you along with Zach Williams, 615-844-5600. In just a few minutes, we'll have another update. Opening round of the U.S. Open, Westwood 1 with an update, once again around 546. The NFL season, week 2, kicks off tonight, 720. Kickoff for this one as the Cleveland Browns taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Two former Heisman Trophy winners, Joe Burrow with the Bengals. It was a game last week for Cincinnati. The worst case scenario for Joe Burrow, who not a bad start to begin the year. 23 of 36, 193 yards, did throw the one pick. But he had the Bengals in position to kick a field goal to send the game in overtime. And they missed. Can you imagine that? Missing an easy field goal in an NFL game?
Not only missing, but hurting yourself, too, because that's what Randy Bullock did.
Well, then we look at, of course, what happened to the Titans on Monday night as well. But so the Browns, I can't believe
he's still in a Titans uniform, by the way.
He made the kick at the end. I'm still fine with that. I look at his success rate for that many years in the NFL. I'm good. You know, let's just... You know, pump the brakes about, oh, got to make a move.
Last two years, though, his success rate is terrible.
How many preseason games did he kick in?
Last year, he had 4 preseason games that he kicked in, and then he still missed 4 field goals and got booted out by the Pats.
I realize that.
And came off a hip injury.
But a new, and look.
Hip surgery, right?
Was it his fault the kick gets blocked?
I mean, that's one. Look, was it his fault when he missed an extra point?
Oh, yeah.
Or the other two?
Absolutely.
Thank God
he made the one to win the game, and so there we go.
So amnesia falls across Tennessee.
I think the storyline for me this week, starting on Sunday, is for when I look at teams that can ill afford to start 0-2. I mean, Dallas and Atlanta. I mean, whoever loses that game, you're going to be 0-2 to begin the year.
Dallas is going to clean that one up, I bet.
Minnesota, Indianapolis, two teams that are also thinking about being a playoff team, especially with the extra playoff team in both the AFC and the NFC. One of those teams is going to be 0-2. I'm looking for the nice comeback as far as Phillip Rivers. And seeing what he's able to do for the Colts against Minnesota. But Minnesota's good, but boy, Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay was just that much better with what we saw on Sunday when they just totally dominated Minnesota.
Well, plus two with Phillip Rivers, it's like, how much longer of a leash? Because we had this high expectation. A lot of people did. I mean, I was wrong about it. I had a huge expectation for the Colts. And 2 weeks in a row, if they lose, then you kind of got to start questioning a little bit.
How about the fact one of these teams is going to be 2-0? Kyler Murray in Arizona taking on Washington. Did you think that either one of them, and remember, Arizona beat San Francisco, the team that last time I saw them play before this year, they were in the Super Bowl, right? Either one of those teams, either Washington or the Cardinals, one of them is going to be 2-0 after Sunday.
That offense for the Cardinals is just so serious, and I feel like Washington caught Philadelphia with their pants down halfway through, so I don't see them going 2-0.
Carolina had their opportunities to win on Sunday. Tampa Bay never had that chance. One of those teams, Carolina and Tampa Bay, is it going to be Teddy Bridgewater in Carolina finding a way to get the job done in Tampa? Or is it going to be what we see with Tampa Bay with regards to Tom Brady? Because one of those teams going to be 0-2. We'll see how that all plays out. All right, another update from Westwood One of the U.S. Open opening round. More to come. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 844-5600.
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the 120th U.S. Open Golf Championship. Lee Westwood has the best resume of anyone who hasn't won a major title. 19 career top tens, but no victories. The Englishman in his first U.S. Open in 3 years, and there he is near the top of the leaderboard after a 3-under-67, two back.
You get it in the fairway regularly around here. You know, you can score well. With them being bold greens, you know, you can use them to your advantage. Obviously, as the golf course firms out and the pin positions obviously get tougher, then it won't yield as many low scores.
Yeah, this was the day to score at Winged Foot, no doubt. Justin Thomas certainly did, a 5-under-65, one shot better than Patrick Reed, Thomas Peters, and Matthew Wolf, all 4-under. Wolf is wrapping up, playing the 18th right now. Rory McIlroy and Louis Oosthuizen, 3-under, along with Westwood. Tiger Woods, 3-over. Phil Mickelson flames out, 9-over-79, his worst score at the U.S. Open. I'm Ted.
This season, more than any other season, we're all reflecting on the wonder years of football. And in celebrating the heart of America's greatest sport, we've got a bold snack that'll help rekindle some really great memories. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds have the big flavors you want, like Korean kimchi barbecue, pasilla chili cheese, spicy dill, and more. Eat them right out of the bag or try them in your favorite recipes. Pigskins and pigskins, they just go together.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds.
What do you want a da-da-da? What do you want a da-da-da?
I've not a da with a da-da-da.
We could switch to Progressive, da.
Oh, yeah?
We could switch to Progressive and sa.
Mm-call.
We could sa and have to buy some za.
Oh, yeah. Let's switch to Progressive, da, and get some za with the money we saw.
Yeah.
Now we know we're gonna da-da-da.
These days, nothing is normal and everything is weird. But you could still save big when you switch to Progressive. It might just be the most normal thing you da-da-da.
Quote da at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Well, good afternoon. It remains shut down here on 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. It's been shut down all afternoon long from a crash where a truck caught fire. Yes, it's still dragging along northbound on 65 trying to get past Trinity Lane with rubberneckers. All the major outbound routes right now are really heavy, especially I-40 east headed back into Wilson County. Hey, check out the new Andre Chicken Sandwich at Princess Hot Chicken. They're online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hey Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Saunier, executive producer of WNSR, and I'm here reminding you that Bongo Java at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the best place to start your day in the Music City. Their new limited summer hours and menu is simply the best in town. From burritos to smoothies, plus the new biscuit sandwiches and croissants, Bongo Java has you covered. Located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue downtown, they're open from 7 to 11 a.m. And make sure you tell them Crazy Charlie sent you.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you along with Zach Williams. 615-844-5600. That's 844-5600. By the way, programming note coming up on our show tomorrow. Don't forget, around 4:20, Bobby Bowden, the Hall of Fame legendary Florida State coach, will be a part of the show. Also, just after 5, our weekly visit with handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Week 2 of the NFL kicking off tonight, 7:20 start time, as the Cleveland Browns at home, 6-point favorite against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Titans in action coming up on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. And everything goes by, in case you missed the announcement, starting with that first of 3 consecutive games in October, starting with that Pittsburgh game, the Titans are at this point going to be allowed to have fans in 10% capacity week 1 as far as home games. The following week in October is going to be escalated to 12.5%. And then finally that third game in the month of October for the Titans, we're talking about a 15% capacity before those numbers escalate in the month of November. As far as the matchup, I'm looking at these matchups as far as what the Jacksonville Jaguars did, and I'm still trying to figure out, if you just look at stats, this is where stats can be very misleading. 32 teams in the NFL, right? The Jacksonville Jaguars, offensively, there's only one team worse as far as what they on yards per game than Jacksonville. And then you look at their defensive rankings, there's only two teams worse than Jacksonville in defense. And they still found a way to beat Indianapolis this past Sunday.
So does that say more for the Jags Or does that say less about the Colts?
I think it was one of those things where lists don't... I think it's about the Colts, but I am also saying don't overreact if we look at the Indianapolis Colts. I don't think they're as bad as that performance. And, you know, it's one of these things, for example, San Francisco has to play the Jets on Sunday. San Francisco coming off that loss to Arizona, the 49ers a 7-point favorite. You know, these are kind of weird games in the NFL that teams that you would expect to win, like a San Francisco, these are kind of games where all of a sudden the Jets will beat San Francisco just because it's the NFL.
Yeah, but see, with the Jags, and Gardner Minshew before, I've said this before, he was winning last year when he was a starter. It was when the Jags really started turning down as a team is when they went to Nick Foles. And so with that, that's when you saw that Jags team be bad. You saw them win under Gardner Minshew. And, you know, Titans fans can't have that much amnesia. Yeah, they've won a lot at home against the Jags, which is great for this week. But they lost that Thursday night game last year against the Jaguars in a terrible fashion, which it was the real springboard to get Ryan Tannehill on as the starting quarterback, because then they go on to face the Broncos that next week. So this is the thing with the Jags is Gardner Minshew's a winner. I don't care what the stats say. I don't care what happens. He's finding ways to win with a very bad team. And I'm just saying, don't count out the Jags when he's out there, because for some reason, that team plays better when he's the quarterback.
Well, and one of the things, too, Phillip Rivers, I mean, take away the two interceptions. Numbers-wise, he was 36 of 46. He moved the ball through the air, 363 passing yards. So if you're Ryan Tannehill, if you're Arthur Smith, you're thinking about the Titans, how they're going to attack Jacksonville, you're going to have opportunities to move the ball through the air. But the problem, he threw the two picks. But, you know, new team, new system. And with regards to, look, I think, once again, we talked about the fact is one thing trying to duplicate what you can expect in a football game on the practice field, and then you get the football game, and we saw this even Tom Brady, the veteran that he is, how many times was he throwing behind receivers? And so these are kind of things I feel like will be corrected. I'm not down yet on Indianapolis, and I still think they have every opportunity to be the second best team in the AFC South.
Why does it always look like when Phillip Rivers goes to throw a ball, he's throwing like a 10-pound sack of potatoes? It looks like it hurts.
He has always thrown that way. You go back to his high school days in North Alabama. He threw that way at North Carolina State. I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of teams stayed away from him, you know, as far as recruiting him, because of that unorthodox way of, you know, throwing. But you think about the number of yards that he has passed for in the NFL. I think he's just fine with regards to that. But that was certainly not the start for Phillip Rivers. I thought that he was going to be, had the potential to pull what Brett Favre was able to do the latter years of his career, where he would have high passing numbers as far as touchdowns, but eliminate the mistakes. And I think Sunday had every bit to do with the fact no preseason games, and that was your first game. I think that will get corrected as far as Indianapolis moving forward.
But what's the threshold? Because, once again, if it gets to week two, week three, and they still haven't won yet, do you say, okay, Brissett should step back in?
There's Jacoby Brissett.
May at least have a good backup situation.
I mean, you're not going to wait forever.
No, you shouldn't, because, once again, this team is a good team. They have talent across the ball, all the way, both sides, offense, defense. They just, for some reason, are not winning games, even though this is week one, but this is how it was last year as well, where they would be in a game and not be able to find a way to win it. Or they would win a game that nobody would think they're going to win, or they would lose a game that nobody. I mean, last year, nobody thought they were going to beat the Chiefs, but sure enough, they go in, they play their game, they control the clock on the ground, and they win. Now, this one with the Jaguars, nobody thought they were going to lose. Nobody thought they were going to have a problem. And then sure enough, here we are, and we're talking about them losing to the Jaguars, who everybody said they were tanking for, not Tua this year, but it's tanking for Trevor.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing, too. You know, if you're a fan of the Titans, take care of business. And we don't know what COVID-19 means to any of these teams moving forward, where you may lose your starting quarterback for a week or two. You may lose your star running back, couple your receivers. We don't know. That's why I take advantage of these opportunities. For the Titans, by the way, they have won 6 straight at home against Jacksonville, 7 out of the last 9 meetings they have taken victories against Jacksonville. How about Houston, for example, on Sunday? They get to host Baltimore. So here's the Texans. You go from Kansas City, and now you got to take on Baltimore. If you're the Titans, take full advantage of that, because after Sunday, the Titans should be 2-0, and the Houston Texans, I think the biggest competition for the Titans in the AFC South, should be 0-2 at the end of the day on Sunday.
It should be, right? But we'll see. I mean, if there's one thing that this last week proved for anything, it was that the underdog is a nice pick to have, because we talked about it last week too, or maybe it was off air, I can't remember, but I said, don't bet anything. Just don't bet anywhere. Don't put any money down.
No, you said it on the air because...
Did I say it on air too?
Yeah, because we don't know.
You don't know, and I still say that. I still say we don't know what we're going to see for week two.
By the way, we wrap up things on Sunday night. This will be fun. Cam Newton and the New England Patriots, one of the better showings as far as Sunday was concerned, taking on Russell Wilson in Seattle. That's your last game on Sunday night. And then, of course, you get the Monday night game. The first game in Las Vegas for the Raiders as they host the New Orleans Saints. Hey, big thanks to our visitors, Brad Nessler, the play-by-play voice of the SEC on CBS. Also, Doug Segrist out of Birmingham, co-host on the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340 and a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. Looking ahead, don't forget tomorrow, 4:20, the legend himself, Bobby Bowden, will be a part of the show. And then just after 5, our weekly visit with handicapper Lee Sterling. For Zach Williams, Johnny Ballpark Franks, have an incredible Thursday night, everybody, and do us all a favor and make it count.
WPDQ, Franksboro.